enforcer.
I believe you're Coach Gordon. I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what call a handsome man.
Kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
Oh!
Welcome back to another edition of the All Night Long Rest Podcast. We are your hosts. He is the better look successful Stallion. I am the enforcer. So talk about a fall off, huh?
We don't have the show right away. We can't have people doing that.
That's what people usually do when I start. I have a broken back.
That's true. Where's the breaking news drop? Do I still have it? Hold on.
Dun, 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 dun.
You have a broken back.
I have a break. Okay. My back isn't broken. I have a fracture in my back.
Same difference.
So my T8, I think. T7, it was these sequels to Terminator. It hasn't stopped me. Don't get me wrong. I'm only stronger. It's a fracture I've had for part of a decade. Nobody told me. My chiropractor asked me if I fell off a roof or gotten into a severe car accident. I said, and here we are, Mike with a broken back, and enough about broken back. I believe we are joined on the phone with Ego Ethan Page. Are you
there? Yep, right here.
How you doing, man? We appreciate your time, and welcome to the All Night Long Rest Podcast.
No problem, guys. Excited.
First and foremost, listen, I was at Evolve 8, you versus Darby Allin. You try to kill the man. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Friday the 13th, Blood, but you put him in a body bag and you tried to murder him. Tell me what got you to that point with Darby Allin, because that was one of the wildest matches I've ever seen in my life.
I think it was a mix of both of us wanting to prove something. Obviously, two things that are completely different. I was trying to prove that he was not on my level, and he was trying to prove that he could get a victory over me, which he did in Orlando, but I needed to get it back in New York, and I did.
Yeah, that was that match was actually so intense. My fiance had to leave and watch it from the fourth row, which was much fun. I like to be up close and personal. No, but that was that was definitely spectacle, and that victory pretty much is you. I believe it's going to be you and Zach Sabre for the Evolve title Saturday, May 20th. Is that confirmed?
Yep, that is correct.
What can we expect in that match? I mean, that's quite the contrast of styles. You know, Zach Sabre, the submission specialist. You very well round wrestler yourself. Is that what are we looking for on May 20th?
It's kind of like a bit of a grudge match. I've kind of stuck my nose in Zach's business for a couple months now, and he stuck his nose in mine with my feud with Darby Allin. So we've already wrestled once before in New York. I was victorious. We had a rematch in San Antonio. He beat me, did not release the hold. I got the victory by disqualification. So right now, I'm 2-for-2 against Zack Sabre Jr. going into this title match, and I'm looking to make it 3-for-3.
And especially with the title on the line, that victory is far more important. Now, we jumped ahead a little bit. I know growing up in Canada, tell me a little bit about your start in the business and when wrestling something you were interested in as a kid.
Well, I started watching wrestling with my dad when I was really young. My first memory was seeing King Kong Bundy cut a promo on my TV, and it absolutely scared the living crap out of me. I eventually fell in love with Macho Man Randy Savage, Razor Ramon, then later on The Rock, Billy Gunn. But I was always into larger-than-life characters, and I guess that's where all ego comes from, essentially. And then I broke into wrestling in Hamilton, Ontario, and I've never looked back.
When you broke something after you got your start, were you predominantly singles guy or did you go right to tag teams?
Kind of mixing and matching. Predominantly singles. I had a good tag team run with a close friend of mine, Joey Kings, as the Entourage, as well as tagging with Michael Elgin and AAW as the Men of the Year. But I guess most famous for tag team is Monster Mafia with Josh Alexander, former PWG tag champs. But other than that, I would say I would be 90% a singles wrestler.
Well, the first actually saw you wrestle, it was you and Josh Alexander versus Red Dragon. I think it was from Ring of Honor TV, maybe late 2014, early 2015. Not to stooge myself off, but I actually took a video of that match and put it up on my Instagram before you could do videos on Instagram. I was so excited by that. That was probably one of my favorite matches of, you know, you and Monster Mafia. What was it like, you know, Red Dragon? They've been together for a very long time. They're a great tag team. You have worked with a lot of teams in both Ring of Honor and PW. What were those experiences like?
It was great. We've had a bunch of matches with the Young Bucks, and every time it was an amazing experience. Josh and I have chemistry unlike any other tag team. I think if we put 100% into trying to make Monster Mafia our main focus in our careers, people would be able to see that a lot more. The Red Dragon match was actually put on the best of Ring of Honor TV episodes, and we were not under contract with the company. So whoever edits those things together, I mean, pat on the back for us. I think they really screwed up not signing both of us when we were active in Ring of Honor, and that was one of my favorite matches of that year.
And I know you said you wrestled the Young Bucks. I mean, when you got Monster Mafia, you guys wrestled from promotion to promotion. How tough is that to do, to carry a series of matches, you know, pretty much all across the
Sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Young Bucks and Monster Mafia, you guys had a series of matches that went from pretty much from to promotion. How tough is that to carry sequence like throughout the country and keep, you know, innovating yourself?
Oh, with them, it's not hard at all, because they know themselves so well and we know ourselves so well. So when you show up with people that are very, committed to their characters and their in-ring style, and then when you're trying to mix them both together, it's not very hard at all, especially once you've worked with each other once before and you have good chemistry. So for us to find unique ways of doing the same tandems and tag moves, but in a different style or different way or different timing or different position, it's not that tough, especially when you have four of the best wrestlers in the world and two of the best tag teams in the world. It comes pretty easy.
Absolutely. You said if you and Josh were to put your sole focus back into Mafia, is that something we're going to see go forward?
I don't know, because of the way my career is going right now with Evolve and Abroad. I hope so. That'd be great. I think Josh is one of the best, and I want to see him back in America, and I want to see him back in the corner ready for the tag. And we have a re-debut, I guess, or reunion in, I believe, either Vancouver or Calgary. I'm not sure, but it's for Canuck Pro Wrestling. You can check them out on Twitter. We're back in action, I think, in October, so I'm excited for that.
That is awesome. That's something I'm looking forward to as well. Now, I know you talked about your career in Evolve. Right now, I mean, would you say at this point in your career, this is the best part you've been, the best point you've been in Evolve?
Yeah, I would say so right now. Everything that – it seems like everything I'm putting out, people are responding very well to, whether it's a video or a match or a promo or even just a photo or a clip. And it's like snowballing. And I think that's what's gotten me to this point now. We're challenging Zach for the Evolve title in a main event for a brand new market for Evolve. So I would say right now I'm at the peak, and hopefully when I win the Evolve title, I reach a new level.
So obviously for those who follow Evolve a long time, I know you had a very long simmering feud with Gargano. So what was it like for you to working with Johnny for ultimately getting the best of him in the end, and how much catapult your career to main event levels?
Well, I think it helped because he's the number one guy, or was the number one guy in the company. So for me to have some special moments with him really elevated my career and put me in a different perspective into fans' eyes that I am valuable and I am a star in the making, or was a star in the making. Now I'm a superstar. So it was good for me, good for my career, and good for Evolve to have a new character come up to the top tier of the roster.
So, Johnny Gargano, you've had quite a few matches with his significant Candice LeRae. Talk to me about what it's like, the intergender wrestling aspect. Candice LeRae, I mean, one of the toughest, you know, people you'll ever meet, let alone one of the girls. What's your take on intergender wrestling?
If it's done properly, it can be very unique and different to the show. If it's done the wrong way, it's hot garbage. But if you go check out my match with Candice from this past weekend at Wrestle Circus, it was one of my favorite matches of this year so far. And the crowd's very receptive to it. Candice is a superstar. And like I said, if it's done right, it's great. Even the Monster Mafia versus the World's Cutest Tag Team, both of our matches from PWG, I'm very proud of. So it's very cool. We got to win the belts off of them. I have a pretty good relationship with Candice and Joey. And if it's done right, it's great.
Yeah, obviously making her debut for NXT. I don't know if that's this week, next week, but that's something I'm looking forward to as well. Now, aside from Evolve, because you work over there, you're wrestling 3-4, sometimes 5 times a week. What is it like for your body to keep up that schedule going cross-country, cross-times?
It's terrible, especially being jammed in a car for sometimes 14 hours one way to make a booking on no sleep so you can make it before call time, which is the professional thing to do. So, but I pride myself on being a pro in the ring and outside of the ring. So it's worth it in the end that I get to say this is my job instead of working somewhere else. But on the body, it's very tough.
Yeah, we actually spoke with Keith Lee again, who had wrestled in PWG on Friday night and then Saturday afternoon wrestling in Queens, New York. I can't imagine, you know, the beating in the ring just to sit into a car. I don't like sitting in a car or drive, you know, not wrestling. I can't imagine what it's like for you guys. Now Evolve is doing some amazing things. They're bringing in such great talent. You've had so many matches. Is there anybody that you haven't wrestled yet, or even somebody that you would like to see Evolve bring in next?
Personally, I would love to have a singles match with Ricochet. And I would love that to be an Evolve just because of the crowd and how how they're used to seeing Ethan Page, and they're accustomed to my style and my character. And everybody's a big fan of him. So I think the atmosphere would be amazing, and it'd be something special for a company that I work very hard for.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And there's a lot of younger guys. I know Leo Rush is coming up in Evolve as well. So matches with him, I think, would be fantastic. Fantastic. Now, you have Drew Galloway, who had just left to go to NXT. Johnny Gargano, obviously, going to NXT. I think the relationship between Evolve and NXT, that's kind of the natural for most guys.
I mean, I hope so for my sake.
Obviously, NXT is on your mind. How about were any aspirations of New Japan Pro Wrestling, or is WWE really the end game for you?
Yeah, WWE is number one for me. Obviously, I won't turn anything down if it's offered, but that's where my focus is, and fingers crossed that's where I'll end up.
Well, we're hoping for you, and hopefully for Josh. She would love to see you guys in there. I can see, I'm just saying, Monster Mafia and the Revolve, those are a series of matches I would definitely pay to see.
Awesome, dude. Thank you.
Thank you, of course. Let's say somebody hasn't seen Ethan Page wrestle. Any one, maybe two matches that you would say you want to see that as a professional wrestler here?
That's kind of tough, but I would say, oh, geez. Probably the match I had in Orlando with Darby Allin is something of a spectacle, but pure wrestling. AIW, I had a match with Johnny Gargano at an event called Absolution. It's on YouTube for free. You could check it out. It's for AIW out of Cleveland. That's probably one of my favorite matches of my entire career. So if you want to watch one thing, watch that.
Absolutely. And we'll be sure to make that on our Facebook. So you say it's outreach so people could see that. That's awesome. Aside from the Zach match you have coming up on May 20th, where are you working this weekend? What else you got, the matches you have coming up that we could look forward to?
This weekend on Friday night, I'll be wrestling for the Wrestling Revolver. It's Sammy Callahan's promotion, and I'm very excited. I am in the AR Fox Scramble Invitational. I'm excited for that. And then Sunday, I'll be wrestling for Michael Elgin's promotion in St. Louis called Glory Pro Wrestling. And I'm in another scramble match, which is wild for Ethan Page, but I'm excited because I get to wrestle a lot of new people, a lot of new faces. So it'll be a good weekend.
That's something we're definitely looking forward to. And where can fans keep up with you? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram? What's your fans to keep up with what you're doing lately?
Easiest things are Twitter and Instagram. My Instagram is @official_ego. And my Twitter, which I use hourly, is @official_ego. No underscore on that one. And everything through that, you'll be able to see upcoming events, where I'll be, where you can get my t-shirts, my new YouTube videos, all that kind of sorts of stuff. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram, and you'll be updated instantly.
And before I let you know, everybody know prowrestlingtees.com/EthanPage. You have some of the coolest designs for a pro wrestling t-shirt. The I think the Mafia Scooby-Doo shirt might be my favorite of all time.
Thanks, man. I drew that myself.
That's awesome, man. Listen, we really appreciate your time taking to come on the All Night Long Wrestling podcast. I know you're a busy man. Everybody, make sure you check out Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and most important, wrestlingtees.com/page. Ethan, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
And that was Evolve Super, an all-around bad guy, Ethan Page. If you guys get a chance, matches with Darby Allin are some of the most brutal you will find. I believe Evolve has on their YouTube page. I'm definitely gonna take a look, but it was really, really super cool, you know, for him to join us. You heard the schedule. I mean, I don't know how these guys do it. I gotta be honest. I'm exhausted right now. Just listen to the schedule.
I have trouble commuting to work every day. I don't know.
Obviously, we had trouble commuting home tonight.
That was a rough stretch, but yeah. But I don't know how these guys do, man. It's just, I guess maybe you get used to it a little bit with the just like travel in general. Like I know like my career is obviously very different than what these guys do, but people that travel across the country and do different things, it wears on you having done it a couple. So these guys constantly doing it every single week, either whether even the United States or you know outside the country, like you know, the UK or Japan, something like that.
Yeah.
The amount of travel time and then you know, and then putting that sort of on their body every weekend is pretty insane how they do it.
A good friend of mine, Absolute Alvin, wrestles for NYW, and all the way I see him in the gym one, and he's working Monday through, and then got to wrestle on the weekend. You're going to Jersey, you're going to Florida. Nothing but respect to people. I kind of makes me feel like a piece of shit by contrast.
I feel like that about myself every day, anyhow, regardless of thinking about this, but yeah, this just kind of just adds to it. It makes it a little worse.
I feel like despite my broken, which is fractured in the T leaf.
The T8. That's what we want. The T8.
Yeah, the T8. My C4 and 5 are compressed, and my L5 and 6 are bone on bone. So if you hear me not talking this episode, it's because I passed away. That's where I'm at.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, had a good run. Let's wrap it up.
It was a good run.
So I did not watch last week. For anybody listening, we've recorded this on Wednesday.
May 3rd.
I feel like you were going to deliver some sort of impactful statement. statement.
No, I have. I drove all over Long Island today, and I was in my car, I think, for about 3 hours. And now we're here. I just took off my necktie. So that's where we're at. So I guess the spend is...
Yeah, everything's going fine.
I
am fine
now! Yeah. I guess Ethan Pinball and indie wrestling to... I don't get to talk about Jinder Mahal. It really upsets me. And I'm sure everybody else listening to us that we don't get to speak about Jinder Mahal as often as we should.
You know, I was thinking we should...
Yeah.
Right. So we're not talking about SmackDown this week. We're going to talk about Payback. We're going to talk about a little bit of Monday Night Snort. Oh, Monday Night Raw. Sorry. Let's talk a little back. Frankly, I did not see Enzo and Cass versus Gallerson on the pre-show. Did you see that?
I did not see the pre-show. I got home like just around 8 o'clock from where I was. So I picked it up.
Were you like in or...
No, it was, you know, my parents. That's what I was doing.
You know, if family time is important.
I mean,
Sunday. I true story. Sunday, 13-year-old's birthday party.
That's. I didn't get my invite. It's weird.
No,
I mean, it's not weird. I don't know. I guess I just popular. So,
but
no one wants to talk to the about pro wrestling. I guess
I. All three times RJ listens to this show, he won't talk about pro wrestling. Anyway, Enzo and Cass versus Gallows and Anderson. Enzo and Cass win clean, I guess. Gallows and Anderson are further just circling the drain, if you will. If we're just gonna be honest in this week's episode, most every other week when I sugarcoat things, right?
Well, I mean, I understand. You're just trying to, you know.
I'm usually trying to keep it positively.
PC.
I'm going to be PC up until the house match. And then I'm going to be nothing but for damn, did that match suck. First match of the night was Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. I don't know if you know this, but they've once or twice before.
Yes, I do. Okay. I did remember. I did notice that. So the clarification on the stipulation was that if Jericho won the title, that he would go to SmackDown. And if Owens had kept the title, he would just stay on SmackDown and Jericho would stay on Raw. All that was, I think, clarified like the night. Because there was a lot of people asking, us included, leading up to it. Anyway, the match, that was the opener. I thought it was a pretty good match for those guys. I thought it was better than their WrestleMania, I would say. The crowd, which this show is in San Jose, I thought was also pretty good, pretty lively. So they were pretty vocal. It's much better when they're not sitting on their hand. And I thought these guys had a good match. They had a couple of calls, the WrestleMania match. And, you know, the long story short, I guess ended up winning the title by submission, which was a little surprise time. I didn't expect that to be the case.
We were 0 for this match.
We were 0 for 1. Yeah. It was widely kind of speculated or known that Jericho was going to be leaving this week to go on tour with his Fozzy.
Fozzy!
Playing at 89 North, actually, right up the road from all my.
We're partying here. We got all kinds of beer.
So it was a little surprising on that. You know, it was still a good match, I guess, and they just kind of traded the title a little bit back and forth. Not that we're going to really get to the full SmackDown, but they did a rematch on SmackDown on Overback. So,
try. I didn't know that. No, I didn't know. That's fine. I don't watch SmackDown.
Out of here.
See, I stay away from the internet, so I don't know these things.
You stay away from the internet.
I do. I really do.
The whole internet.
No, I mean, I visit xvideos.com for a while. But
the fact that we both know that's is probably a real problem.
Anyway, I...
What else do you want to talk about SmackDown? No spoilers. You don't want no spoilers. All right, we'll skip that then. We'll not
talk about SmackDown. Let me get my take on the Jericho. I love the continuity. I love how Jericho was working on the hand arm on the fingers and it played into the finish of the match. I thought that was terrific. Smart whoever laid out that match, and I love this match. So kudos to those two. Nelson Aries defeated Neville by disqualification. I don't know if I just had high hopes for this match and I'm a little harsh on it, but I didn't think it was that great. These two guys, I think they're capable of so much better, and I don't know if they're handcuffed by the WWE. But it was serviceable. Let's call it serviceable. It was like a wave that it doesn't, like, it's supposed to turn, doesn't turn inside, but it still heats up your food, albeit. And that's what Neville and Aerys was.
For. That's what it meant to you?
That's what it meant to me.
Okay.
What did you think of that?
I thought, I guess, by the opposite, I guess, of the match where I thought Jericho and Owens had a better match in the show than WrestleMania, I think Neville had a better match at WrestleMania than on this show. I thought the match was like pretty good, but the finish was kind of, it was a DQ, which is kind of lame. They could have obviously benefited from another like 5 minutes and finish, but it is what it is. I guess they're just trying to extend the out longer than, because I don't know what other viable challengers they have now for Neville. So it seemed to me like they come up with a way to extend the feud either out for another pay-per-view, which is, I guess, is what they're trying to do. So I thought that the match was okay. The WrestleMania match was better, and the finish was kind of lame.
Yep, agreed. Next was the Hardy Boys against Sheamus and Cesaro. I thought it was a pretty good match. The end, the finish was a little bit weak. The swanton to the back of Ben, was it Sheamus?
I think Sheamus took the pin.
After he punted Jeff Hardy's front right bicep into the third row?
Yes. That was post the tooth
extraction. I wonder if he broke that tooth. It has now become obsolete. Look at that.
It is an obsolete tooth.
It sure is, pal. I thought the match was pretty good, but like I said, it just the finish really didn't do it for me. I thought it was kind of weak. However, I did like the Sheamus and Cesaro heel turn afterwards, which I believe you called. Call that.
Yeah, well, leading up to they had two singles, right? The last 2 weeks on Raw was Jeff Hardy and Cesaro and Matt Hardy. And the Hardys won those matches respectively. And afterwards, Sheamus and Cesaro shook their hands, which seemed just a little bit it was a little odd, I guess. I didn't think that they would just continue doing that without it leading to a turn. I'm not sure if it would happen on this show or not, but it did. So they you know, obviously, like you said, the finish was what it was, and the Sheamus and Cesaro left. Hardys were standing on the turnbuckle celebrating, and then they ran back to the turnbuckles and kind of gave him a at the end and turned, which I think was, I think it's good. I like the turn. I think they can be a good team. And they had a nice promo, I thought, on Raw, just kind of explaining it a little bit and kind of asterisks. So I thought that was pretty
good. Yeah, to the end of the Jericho Owens match, I liked that it made sense. It kind of followed a pattern. They kind of gave you a little bit of backstory. They did it. And it was because, you know, if you look at the, what do they call that? Story arc, I believe. Mm-hmm. If you look at the story arc, how they wrote it, how, you know, they described it in the promo. It was really good storytelling. And Cesaro as a heel, I mean, he's going to get cheered no matter what because people don't boo good professional wrestlers. I've come to that conclusion. I think BK was one that said that. He said the reason the Miz actually gets booed isn't that good in the ring. Whereas if he was better in the ring, people might appreciate him. I think that might make sense here.
Yeah.
But and they have some new attire, which we saw on Monday night.
Sweet jackets, right?
Yeah. I call them sweat jackets for sweet jacket, all in one word.
Mm. You're gonna mock me in the middle of the show. I don't know why you feel the need to.
No, I'm actually that one to say that many syllables.
Oh.
Plus, I don't pronounce good.
English. Well, yeah.
English. Yeah, not good. now, the next match was Alexa and Bayley. I thought this was probably Alexa Bliss's best match in the WWE. I feel like she's been kind of missing something in her matches on SmackDown. And her and Bayley, I think they had a really good dynamic and they were able to tell a really good story. The finish was a little surprising. It's judging by Raw, Alexa Bliss is now using a DDT as a finisher. I don't know that it was 1984.
Hey, listen, I respect the DDT if they can bring it back. As a
I finisher. Love the DDT. Look no further than Tommy Dreamer and for a fantastic DDT. I know they weren't allowed to do the DDTs for a while. WWE. It was up there with the power driver on the banned list. But if she could bring it back and, you know, make DDTs again, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, she has a top rope splash she does as a false. So, the sparkle splash. No. You to be the Sparkle Splash, and now it's Bliss something. Shining
Bliss.
Total Bliss.
Total Stratisfaction.
Let's look that up while we're doing this. But
we both take to ourselves on mid show. Yeah. That's good for business.
Yeah. No. So I thought the match was pretty good.
That's Bliss.
Better. Sorry, I shouldn't keep. I don't know. Yeah, I thought it would be better than I expected. I was surprised that Alexa won.
Oh, she's 25. I'm gonna kill myself.
Yeah.
God, I'm old.
Match was better than I thought. Was it that Bliss did win? I
Twisted Bliss.
Thank you. I was surprised that she won. But they do. WWE does have a history of beating wrestlers' hometowns, so it was pretty nice that they built up the show in Bayley's hometown and defending the women's championship, and 25 members of her family and friends at the show, and lost to a DDT. So that's cool. And then they had an 8-10 tag match on Raw the following night.
I don't know. I don't watch it. I fast forwarded.
So it's weird because 2 weeks ago when I said I fast forwarded the one match, you gave me a hard time for that. And now it seems like you're allowed to fast forward the matches and I'm not. It's,
I'm not allowed to. I'm just a piece of shit.
That's hurtful to me.
People expect more from you.
I mean,
you're better looking. You're far better dressed. You're more intelligent.
Nope.
And I believe what they call a schmuck.
No.
Schmuck?
I'm Joe. That's.
I'm Mike Putz. How's that my name? Mike Putz.
So it seems like they. I don't know what the direction was division on Raw before this. I thought that they were going to do a Bayley and Sasha feud during the summer, with Banks eventually turning heel. So I think this now means the direction has changed, that they've taken the title off of Bayley and put onto Alexa Bliss. They haven't really done much the last week or so, hinting at a turn for Sasha. Yeah, she's kind of been a non-factor the last maybe like 2-3 weeks. So I don't know if they just direction and decided to go with Bliss because they liked what she was doing, character and in the ring, or if they do have a longer-term plan. I would probably not the long-term plan.
Yeah, they don't seem to have long-term plans for anything.
So, yeah. So I'm going to let you go talk about House of Horrors because I know you were looking forward to this, which itself is talking about it. And then I'll let you go. I don't want to interrupt. So I'm just going to lay out, as they say in radio and TV.
Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But have you ever really had to poop and you're in a situation where you couldn't? Joe gave a thumbs up. Okay. This match was that feeling, but cinematically. That's the best way I could describe it. The worst shit I've ever seen in my life. I'd rather watch a coal miner's glove match. I would rather watch the Theater of Horrors match. I would rather watch the IWCCW Jazz bungee cord match. I would rather listen to Apollo Crews cut a promo. I would rather... I'm out of things I'd rather do. Listen, you're not going to capture lightning in a bottle like you did with total nonstop deletion. You're not going to do that. And if you are, they shot it. The way they shot it, it like a really shitty episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? I love Are You Afraid of the Dark. But they almost put like, they were somewhere between a rated horror movie and like Waterworld, where like you need to commit to one side or the other. And not for nothing, you can't have in one instance Randy Orton with a beard, and then Randy Orton fully shaved. You want to talk continuity? How did Randy Orton get a refrigerator off him and then manage to no sell it in the ring? This made no sense. It was stupid. Randy Orton, which was the only good thing for Bray Wyatt, because of Jinder Mahal. But then you start the match in the Amityville house, and then you take a limo to the arena. Nothing made any sense. It didn't come off the way they wanted it to. You should have at least maybe like you put both guys in a room in the house, and the winner is the guy that escapes the house. There you go. I just booked a better match than this shit. So The problem I have was you have Randy not be able to get in the house. We've got to break down the door to get in the house. That's fine. Put this cameraman inside. So why couldn't they just open the door for him? I mean, maybe they could have went found footage, like a CCTV camera, or like GTV if you want to. I don't care. Or you have like a camera set up in the house. So you don't have cameramen. It was just
he could have knocked. I guess
he could have knocked. Yeah, he just asked the guy to open the door for him, who was already in the house, but he couldn't get in the house. Or you could have had like Rowan there recording it. You could have done something. Telephone camera. You could have done anything. It was just a really terribly executed waste of 17 minutes and 10 seconds and the rest of the show. And I probably dislike Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe more than I should have, because I had that taste in my mouth of Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. But jelly beans. They're like Harry Potter jelly beans. It's like some of them have like a really disgusting to them, and some of them don't.
Licorice,
like frog, and they're like they taste bad on purpose.
I never ordered the frog vomit at any place that I've been to. So I mean, okay, but
there are snags of jelly beans that have like one of like there'll be like a blue one like cotton candy, and there'll be another blue one, and it'll be like of some sort. And like you don't know which blue one you're gonna get. This is like going to the jelly bean store and getting an entire bag of the vomit jelly bean. That's where Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton in the House of Horrors match was. I'm good.
You good? Okay. All right.
And this is the part where you come back and say you loved it, right?
Yeah. I actually thought it was really great. No,
The rest is perfect.
I think when it first started, the part where they were in the House of Horrors. Randy Orton showed up in a limo with wearing whatever Dockers or perhaps slacks and no shirt. So I don't really know who travels around that way in limousines or why he felt the need to do that. Like, t-shirt, bro.
He just got done slamming Pamela Lee in 1996. That's what it looked like.
I don't know. Like, that part was a little strange. I don't think I need to get into detail about stuff that happened inside the house. I mean, you described it. Everyone saw it. It was really just he said a low level horror movie type situation.
I love horror movies. I'm a huge horror movie mark, as they say. And this was a terrible.
There wasn't a lot of entertainment quality to it, I guess is what I would say. So like when you talked about the final deletion and all that, the way that they filmed it. It was, it was well done. It was entertaining. So the way these are presented, the way that things were filmed, the way it was shot, it was pretty entertaining, funny, I guess, in a lot of ways. This was really, I don't know what the intent of it was supposed to be. Was it supposed to, it wasn't supposed to be funny. I guess it was taken seriously.
Was it supposed to, you posed a really good question. I want to follow up. Was it supposed to be scary?
I guess.
Was it? And get either guy over?
I don't know that it really did. If there was no general interference at the end and Bray like buried a refrigerator and like Orton staggered back somehow to the arena and then Bray ended up beating him clean after that, then I maybe could say that they made an attempt to put Bray over, but that's not really what happened. Like you said, when Orton at the arena, he basically no-sold
the entire attack.
The fridge.
Could have manned up and fake killed him, and like fake like shot him or something, and then have him come back as a zombie and really go off the deep end. Now that would have had some enjoyment. Like, let's say like you blow the house up and Bray's inside the house, and then he acts like Demon Bray Wyatt. Do you think Halloween Havoc 1990 holds up over better than this match right now? True, dead serious question. Because I feel like when they had the Halloween Havoc 89, maybe even 88 and 90, they were meant to be scary a little bit, it was meant to frighten people. And I think those 25 years ago actually when this match does right now.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is, I don't know, I couldn't tell you what like a 10-year-old or somebody who was watching this thought of it, right?
It sucked.
They
I'm gonna go 10-year-olds.
Maybe they were in it in terms of maybe they thought it was scary, maybe they thought it was interesting, like the part in the house. I don't know. I think it was Brian that asked it to me the next day, like via you know, a text message of like, do you think it's like what Undertaker was like for us when we were kids type of thing, which maybe, I don't know. Like obviously now being adults, it doesn't have that same impact, but like the Undertaker stuff now, like from when I was a kid with the whole, like, you know, Undertaker, Yokozuna, like, you know, rising in the
same. I still think that is much scarier than this stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it is too. Like, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, I guess you'd have to take like a kid who watches wrestling for them both things, and then tell me like, okay, as a 10 or a 12 year old, which was better or more entertaining for you, Undertaker, Yokozuna craziness with the casket match, or this Bray Wyatt Randy Orton House of Horrors match? I don't know. I would still think stuff is way better than this is.
Well, if you get the little look up from his iPad, all the little bastard kids do these days. Look at their iPad.
Oh, yeah. But were they playing on there? Snood? That was a good game.
I don't even know what Snood is.
You don't even know what Snood is?
No, maybe playing Zoop.
Oh my god. Zoop?
Yeah, that game was awesome.
I thought it was Zelda.
That's not even the same problem. Zelda's awesome too.
That was a Zelda game?
Yeah, Zelda's great. Yeah, Ocarina of Time, Zelda Link to the Past. Link to the Past is the best one.
Triforce.
Well, we're deep. But back to the whole Bray Wyatt thing, I should have a comment on it. One thing it reminded me of, do you remember when was the Warrior or Macho and Jake when he went into the house and all
the snake?
Yeah,
it was Jake Warrior. I think Taker was involved in this in some capacity.
That I watched that within the last year, and
that's what it was. I think it was. I think Warrior was messing with Taker, like they were going to feud, and then like Jake was trying to train Warrior to be able to handle it, so he had
him and all that stuff.
Yeah, like the pit of the snakes. He had him in there, and
I still think that stuff. It's not because maybe it is because I'm a little bit older, but I think that stuff is still scary and better than the House of Horrors. I also think the way they shot it with the camera. Something about the camera, it didn't look right.
It felt like I was watching See No Evil, not in that movie.
Okay, first of all, See No Evil was fantastic. I love that movie. Okay. Glenn Jacobs is a monster among men. It's way better than I'd rather watch Waiting to Exhale. And watch the House of Horrors. Waiting to Exhale. Whitney Houston. I'll look it up. Let's get to Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe. Do we talk enough about the House of Horrors match?
I think pretty well.
You're not going to hate me on this one. Speaking of unlinked, I was not a fan of the Seth Rollins and Samoa match. I think, again, it's a case of you got two guys who have such a great pedigree who are capable of so much better, and they play pedestrian match. I want to hear your take on it. I want to see if you're on the same page as me.
Well, I did like it. It was pretty good. But every review that I read of it seemed like they were pretty disappointed. So it could have maybe been I was like doing something on my iPad. You know, I was doing your business cards actually while this match was going on.
Nice. Okay.
So I may have been like kind of
in and out,
somewhat
paying more attention to the high spots kind of thing.
Yeah. It seemed like what I saw of it, it seemed like Joe was working over Ron's knee, and he had some pretty innovative moves to do that. And then the other thing, like, I didn't see any like botches or anything, so I thought it was good. And I didn't know who was winning necessarily because I didn't think either guy should lose, given the situations they were in. They had Rollins win on like a small back injury or something like that.
It was a roll for a submission, not positive.
So I thought it was. I thought it was good. I probably should go back and rewatch it just. Given that, like everybody else, the reviews said that it was very underwhelming, disappointing. Maybe I just I don't know. Maybe it was a 16-minute match. I only watched like 9 or 10 of it, and I guess maybe that was just other parts seemed better than it was. So I don't know. It seems like they're headed for another match, a rematch at some point. What happened on Raw? So
yeah, looking forward to it.
You should.
Can we get rid of Seth Rollins, Terrible, and Zagiri? That move really bothers me.
I mean, I guess if you. I guess you can tweet him and ask him.
But I just don't want him to accidentally send me nudes.
Maybe if you send him like a letter in the mail, like a fan mail.
I can write
it. It won't be fan mail. It is doing your horrible insecurity.
I know you're a big Seth Rollins guy, but even you got to admit that insecurity work. It's like an odd. He doesn't really like. You know what? A good insecurity that's absolutely off the deep. Never mind. Del Rio. He had a great step up. You know, now he's. Whatever Del Rio is, I really don't want to get. You know.
He's going to be on the podcasting. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, speaking of, that was a big secret. Del Rio's on the show. What did he do was give a. Never mind. Go any further. But yeah, that movie bothers me because it barely makes it. Actually, looks just like the Ghetto Blaster by
Bad News Brown.
Bad News Brown. Yeah, it's the exact same, and it doesn't even make contact. It bothers the hell out of me. Talk about things that bother the hell out of me. Oh man, poor Roman Reigns. The WWE is convinced he is going to be the face of the company. He's going to be over, and they're literally killing him. Braun Strowman murdered him in the ring, and all of the 12,000 fans in San Jose were chanting, "Thank you, Strowman, one more time." Die. Oh, that was Rocky, but yeah, I thought this match was really good. I thought the main event, great's a strong word. I thought it was a very, very good match. Braun Strowman is really coming along. He had a good match, and Roman just like a savage for Strowman. He got beat from pillar to post. He, you know, it was a really strong match. It was a good win for Strowman. I want to tell you what I would after this match, but I want to hear your opinion of the match first.
I thought it was very good. I thought their Fastlane match was better.
I don't remember it, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I mentioned it as much as this match.
Yeah, I mean, I've only watched it the one time, but I remember watching it. Maybe it was because at the time I was so surprised how good of a match it was, and then maybe this was just maybe equal to it, but my patience were a little bit higher. I don't know. But either way, it was good. It was only 12 minutes. They played up, Bob, of course, Roman's in sustain the couple weeks prior to that. And Strowman beat him pretty clean with the two running power slams. So, which I guess if he's going to be eventually feuding with Brock Lesnar, then that was the right decision to do here. They did the post-match attack where Strowman dropped him on some steel steps. And he did something else to him. What did he do? Yeah, he dropped him on the steps.
I think he just made it. I don't remember. I think he did it twice.
He did something. He beat him up pretty good at the end. He took the steps and he beat him in the chest with the steps. That's what, and that's when they had the fake internal bleeding that Roman was pulling off. The old camera special.
Yeah.
You thought it was real?
Yeah, I think he really hurt us. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to say something you're going to hate. Is Braun Strowman next for Brock Lesnar?
That seems to be the rumor.
Okay. If he's not, let's just say he's not. I'm going to give you a scenario, and I want you to tell me what you think.
Okay.
You can't respond to me until I'm finished talking. After the match, Braun Strowman's beating up Roman Reigns. Out comes Dean Ambrose to save Roman. Gets destroyed by Strowman. Roman's out for an extended period of time, let's say. Strowman enters into a program with Dean Ambrose. Strowman takes the title from me if he's not next for Brock. How do you feel about that?
That would be okay.
Okay. Well, it involves Ambrose, so I tread carefully.
Well, it involves him getting his ass kicked and losing, so that's not. Yeah,
I was hoping Ambrose was going to come out because I thought it would have added a wrinkle to the Strowman Reigns thing, and I don't want to say it looks like we're going to get an ambulance match now. That's what me and BK were talking about. You've exhausted all your options with these two. You can only one too many times, and I think adding an Ambrose there, or even adding an Ambrose and have Strowman like hurt Ambrose now for a while, it could add something to the whole thing. But it was a little surprising. And speaking of deals, but you know, Joe loves him. You know, he's still the Intercontinental Champion. He wasn't on the show at all, not even like a tape segment. I don't think I saw.
I didn't see the pre-show, so I don't know if he made it on there. That'd be actually. I don't know how that was and Balor segment right. Went.
Balor says this is going to be welcome to the Balor Mask Club. We don't have too much time to talk about Raw. I just want to touch on the opening. I love the opening segment. It was, I think it was the opening segment. It was Dean Ambrose, Finn Balor, The Miz, and when was somebody else?
Dean Ambrose. Rollins.
Oh, and Rollins. Yeah. So Finn Balor, he calls out Brock Lesnar. And then Seth comes out and he says, Balor, wait, you know, or vice versa, whatever it was. I think Rollins called him out. Balor comes out and he says, I never lost the title. And then Dean Ambrose comes. And it was a little bit duty, but he's like, well, since Brock Lesnar never shows up, I guess Miz is the most important one on the show, and they have a theory for that. It's a huge mistake having this title still on Brock Lesnar, in my opinion. But if you did not have this guy ever show up, your money guy never show up Monday night, it's important to elevate the Intercontinental title to that main event spot. I think they did a really good job doing that in that segment.
Yeah, they did a good job trying with it.
Until the end.
Yeah. I think it was, I don't know when the segment, I think that was maybe the 9 o'clock hour or something. I think the women opened the show, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Alexa Bliss.
It was Rollins. They came out for his interview, and then he said he wanted Brock, and like you said, Bauer came out, and Miz came out, and Ambrose came out, and it turned into a whole big thing. And like you said, so I do think, and I, as I was watching, I had the same thought that it was good that they elevated or made the IC title seem more important. Actually, having those three guys who are, you know, at or close to main event level guys wrestle for a number one contender spot for the IC title, which I think is, it just sucks that like.
I know what you're. Go ahead. I think I'm.
Lost. No, like it just like the night before the IC champion wasn't even on the show to defend it. Like, and then, like the next night, it's like, oh, it's really important. Like, important enough for him to have a match yesterday. Like, so, but so that's just how they
that's how. And my other issue is you give it to the Miz. That we Miz versus Ambrose for the better part of the last year and a half. I thought Ambrose had some really strong in this. I like what he said about kind of. He was kind of, you know, digging in on Brock for not being there, and what he should do being the IC champion. But why would you go with Miz? What if you were going to go with Miz that title, why wouldn't you just leave Miz on SmackDown and have him go for the US heavyweight title? If he's not going to be the main event guy, then don't bring over Ambrose. But don't you, Raw's land of opportunity, fine, or SmackDown's land of opportunity, now Raw's trying to be, but don't give us the same feud for the last year and a half. They're good. Don't get me wrong, but you're going through so many guys. You're going through the well far too often.
I think that a lot of, or some of the shakeup moves just don't seem very well thought out. I mean, they moved both Ambrose and Miz from SmackDown to Raw, put them in a feud with each other. Like, that's the whole point of moving them around, is to have to deal with different guys, right? To shake, you know, make things more fresh, and that they just left them together. The Bray thing also seemed very short because he's still feuding with Orton, goes over to Raw, and now is continuing to feud with Orton, being on a line. They had this match. He wins. He has they start a feud with Balor. They kind of forget about it for 2 weeks, get back up again. So it just doesn't seem like they're very well planned out as far as what some of these moves were, and moving these guys over. Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then they take Jinder Mahal, who was a guy, move him over to SmackDown.
Enhancement talent.
Yeah. And then puts him over to SmackDown. And now all of a sudden they've decided to make him a main event level guy because he won like one match. So just some of that stuff doesn't sit right with me. I would have rather seen like Miz or somebody get elevated to feud with Orton for like 2 months than this with Mahal and then Miz and Ambrose. That's where kind of some of the stuff gets a little irritating to me. They don't have a long-term, you know, plan with some of the stuff. They made these because they felt like they needed to do this shakeup. Like, if you feel like you need to do a shakeup and make changes, then you should have in your head, like, who the guys are that you feel need to move and what angles you may want to run if you start on shows, right? Like, instead, it didn't seem like they had a lot of that figured out.
What I'm looking forward to is AJ and Kevin Owens. I think that's some pretty good booking. But the problem is, like, AJ's a main event guy. I feel like AJ should be going after the main title. And then the other thing is, why does Bray attack Finn Balor if Finn Balor's not the champ? When he was going after, when he said how the title was to him when he was going after Ring. So I think there's a lot of things that we don't really understand. And they don't know. You know as well as I do. They have no idea. There's no direction. And they're kind of going week to week. And then you're just continuing the Samoa Joe announcing to. So Samoa Joe, so the fiddle was, long story short, Seth Rollins gets taken out of the match by Samoa Joe, and Finn Balor gets taken out by, so, and that's not exactly, you don't want to limp into an intercontinental title feud, in my opinion, when the title's not really made. So I don't know. I thought Raw was okay. And I thought as far as that goes, the wrestling was pretty good. A strong show. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give that one a B minus.
That's pretty good.
Oh, wait. I forgot the Chamber of Horrors match. I'm giving it a D. A big old D.
Yeah, I think I think a B minus is pretty good. It's the one that sticks out, obviously, the House of Horrors is being pretty bad. But
it sucks when that's like the most noticeable thing on the show.
Yeah. Everything else in ring was pretty solid to good, I guess you could say. So,
well, that's it. Another episode of the All Night Long Wrestlecast is in the books. Joe, where can people find us? We're everywhere. We're All Night Long at All Night Long WP on your Twitter, on your Instagram. We're facebook.com/AllNightLongWP, spreaker.com/shows/ANLWP, right?
Pretty sure.
Are you sure? Anyway, well, there's a million places to find. These ones gonna be Facebook because our Facebook, you find, we update everything on the Facebook, on and Twitter too. I don't know, man. I'm exhausted. Especially if we're talking for an hour.
It's the big show. What happened?
Why are you?
I thought we were still talking shows.
No, we're not.
I'm big show.
You know what's coming up soon, by the way?
I may be delirious. What's that, buddy?
You mean Modern Matchmaker?
Oh, that's.
I think it's a special. Oh, you want to talk about the House of Horrors match? Forget the House of Horrors. We got the House of Hardcore coming up, buddy.
We do. It's May the 19th, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken. Friday, May the 19th. House of Hardcore in St. James on Long Island.
That's in our hometown. That's us. It's, we're going to be there. The Enforcer and the Stallion, we work in the show. We Starch Rock, right? That's Starch Rock.
Merch Rock.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer, the Innovator of Myself, versus Cody Rhodes event. Also on the show, no matches announced. That you got Maria Kanellis, Bennett. You got Bubba Ray Dudley. You got Velvet Sky. You got Sammy Callahan. You got Moose, who was just added. You got, last but not least, you got the Spear. You got Nunzio. Sandman.
You got Romantic Touch, bro.
Rhett Touch. Yeah, he'll be there. And you know as well as I do, Tommy Dreamer, House of Hardcore, they always have some surprises in store. So we're going to have a little more on that in weeks, but feel free to search on Facebook, House of Hardcore. And I'm really excited.
There's 90 seconds left in our show.
You know, why does this girl keep coming on? How many seconds left in our show? Can we turn that off? It really pisses me off.
I'll make a phone call.
Yeah, mute him. Once again, like I said, another week in the week. Appreciate you guys listening. And once again, thank you to Ego Ethan Page for stopping by and chatting with us. He is a Stallion. I am the Enforcer. Cut out.